Hi, welcome to the A Quilting Life podcast. I'm Sherry McConnell from A Quilting Life.
And I'm Chelsea from Chelsea Stratton Designs.
And we are here with you today on Monday, October 30th. We are actually taping this episode a couple weeks early, as in actuality today we are at Quilt Market. So
we are.
Yes. So fast forward to the future. That's where we really are today. But we're super excited. It is a fifth Monday. And so that means it's a listener questions episode. And we're really happy to be here with you. Chelsea has the quilt, so I'll turn it over to her.
And Mom, we dressed for the quilts today. We didn't even plan this. I'm loving the flannel. And
Yeah.
The quilt on the wall is autumnal, saying it right this time, you guys. And this one is Fat Eighth friendly and made using our Bountiful Blooms fabric collection that is out in stores right now. You can actually purchase these fabrics. And the quilt on the table is Hey Pumpkin. And this was actually in American Patchwork and Quilting. It was the cover quilt, and that was very exciting. And this one is Fat Quarter friendly. So we kind of have a theme of the leaf blocks here. I loved on the autumnal quilt that I did the alternating blocks with the maple leaves and the plus blocks. And then in Hey Pumpkin, you have the fall leaves inside of the pumpkins. Very cute. And I actually did summer sweet fabrics for this quilt. So a lot of fun fall quilts coming your way. And speaking of fall quilts, I have some exciting news. And Mom is joining in with me.
Yes.
I am doing a sew along with my All-American quilt pattern. It's a great pattern. And I recolored it in Bountiful Blooms and in Favorite Things. So Billy's going to pop up both of those pictures side by side here for a minute. And we are actually going to do Saturday videos, just like we did with Regal Pines. And we're starting Veterans Day, November 11th. It's a Saturday. And so Mom is going to be making the Bountiful Blooms version. And I'm going to be making the Favorite Things version. And we'll have videos because there's four different blocks in the All-American quilt pattern. So those will air every Saturday. So you'll need the pattern, but you have two options for fabrics and both versions are being made. So it's going to be the same as the Regal Pines. I'll have a PDF printable that is available for you to download, and that will be available on this podcast. I'll have that ready for you guys. So just giving you guys a heads up for November 11th, that first introduction video comes out, not the first block video. So we'll talk more about that there. Actually, I'll probably put the PDF on that first introduction video, not this one, but just a heads up to everyone. So that's just kind of talking along the theme of some fall quilts. So I'm very excited about that.
Awesome. I have a couple things to share first. Well, actually, yesterday in the mail, we got our badges for Market, and Moda sent along two charm packs with the new Bella Solids, and they are gorgeous. There is I just love them all. So Chelsea and I are going to have to go through these, and you might see some of these new colors showing up in collections down the road because they are gorgeous.
Yeah, the first charm pack is their new brights. Mm-hmm. They kind of have like a theme with these new Bella Solids. And then the second charm pack, it should say on the front, Mom, it just says Bella Solids, but I know
Cozy.
It's called Cozy.
I love this blue.
Yeah. Oh. Mom's dropping hints here. Mom. Yeah, so they sent us both of those new Bella Solid charm packs. But it does. It opens it up to more ideas and inspiration for new fabric lines. So we are going to be having a lot of fun going through those as well.
And I think there are two of everything or more in the... Yeah, so...
At least two of everything.
Yeah. I also wanted to mention... So Barry McLean sent me a little while ago. She emailed and asked if I'd be interested. She has a basting system called Quilt Tack, and she sent me her starter kit and some snips and her book. And I'm really excited about playing with this, and we will be filming a video on this. I just wanted to tell her thank you for sending it. I'm really excited. And I put out a little call out on Instagram recently asking for people to share things that they need help with. And actually one of them was basting. That was a very popular comment. So I'm super excited. I'll be filming this video also sometime during the month of November and really looking forward to learning more about this system and sharing it with you in a video.
Yeah. And one last thing to share. I received the cutest package in the mail, and I'll get a picture of it so everyone can see, because it's teeny tiny. So our friend Nancy Lane sent this to me, and this is my Hello Fall pumpkin. It's so cute, you guys. She did the little cross stitch, and then she made it into like this cute little pillow.
It's so cute.
It's adorable. So this is already on my shelf in my sewing room, and I just appreciate you so much, Nancy. This was like such a surprise, such a sweet surprise, and so beautifully done. I love it so much. Thank you. So I just had to share with everyone. This is like the projects I hope I'm going to be making someday. So cute. So
yeah,
love yeah, it. I love it. And guys, it matches my fall theme today with the quilts. Yep. Hello. Hey, pumpkin.
Okay, so we do have a listener quilt to share today, and then also a little bit of feedback from two episodes ago. Like my mom mentioned, we're filming this in advance so that we have it all set before they go to quilt market. But the first listener quilt is actually from Chelsea's To the Moon quilt pattern, and I'll pop that on the screen right now. And the email that accompanied this picture says, "First, I want to say how much I enjoy watching the three of you on your YouTube podcast. When you did the quilting test with Billy, my husband and I did it along with you. Surprisingly, he knew most of the answers. I'm attaching a picture of the To the Moon quilt I made for my great-great-nephew. When Chelsea was talking about her first pattern, I knew I had to make this quilt for this little guy. This family always says, love you to the moon. I did make a few changes to the size of the stars and added more rockets. I also left out the sashing so it would look more like they were floating in space. I also quilted love you to the moon in the yellow moon. Everyone I showed the quilt to loved it. My nephew and his wife love it, said it's perfect for them. Hope you like the changes." And this is from Tommy. So Chelsea did take a look at this picture
beforehand,
before today. And what do you think of it? What do you think of those changes?
I love it so much. It really did feel more like it was in outer space.
Yeah.
I thought that was very, very cool. I think you did a wonderful job. And I wish I could see their face, the nephew's face when you gifted it to them, because that's like the best part. It's adorable. I love it. I appreciate you sending that over.
And did you saw it too, obviously, Mom, right?
Oh yeah. She emailed it to me.
Yeah, so, that's yeah. Right. Okay. And then, so a couple other things I wanted to read first from that episode 94. I thought this was some really good feedback. So we talked about the quilting fails but we wanted to stay positive about it and talk about what you can take away from past failures. So this listener wrote in, Susan, "Good evening. I'm sitting here this evening watching the episode 94 on your YouTube channel. Just a different perspective on using the word fail. A few years back, I was teaching technology classes at a private school. I had a sweet student share that her mom told her that fail stands for first attempt in learning. So F-A-I-L, first attempt in learning. I love this. I always try to be an encourager and love this way of thinking. Warmest regards." And that, again, that was from Susan. So that is a good acronym.
Yes.
Is that correct? Right.
Love that.
I'm writing it down right now.
First attempt in learning.
First attempt in learning.
And it really applies to anything that you're doing, whether it's sports or sewing or anything.
Attempt in learning. That is so good.
Absolutely. And then another response to that episode, this is from Sue. "Listening to the podcast on quilt failures was so me. I started quilting and didn't know anything about squaring up. To say the first quilts weren't square is kind. My quilter friend was kind when she pointed out my wonky squares. I suffer from the fear of failure, so starting new projects was hard to do. However, with every quilt, I get technically better, and I finish the quilts. Also, I have enough friends that know nothing about quilting, and they are very appreciative of my quilt gifts, even with the mistakes. Keep talking about these great topics. And that was from Sue.
Yeah, and I also wanted to mention, you know, I always do the show notes post on my blog for every episode. And there were a couple of comments along those same lines I noticed on the show notes post. And one woman, she's actually a member of my Patreon group, so I recognized her name right away, but she mentioned that she just started tap dancing. And I believe she said she's in her 70s. And I was just like, wow, like you can start trying to learn anything at any age. You really can. And she kind of mentioned in there that she felt like she wasn't progressing as quickly as some of the other students. But it's just so inspiring to me to see people who believe that you can try to learn or start to learn anything, no matter what point you are in your life.
That is awesome. Yeah.
So go read those comments from that post if you're interested in more.
Well, I went through and read the comments on some of the comments on the episode, and there were so many people that were cheering for me, like, get that box out, Chelsea, yeah. Get those quilts quilted. And then I had two friends message me, Mary and Ann Vicky, we will quilt those quilts for you. And
oh,
I was
they both
like,
did?
They both did. Oh. And it gave me some hope.
I was just going to say that I saw those same comments.
Yeah.
As well, but obviously you did too. I didn't know that Marion and Vicky obviously called you. That's cool that they were watching.
Yeah, that's great.
Because there was actually one more email about that, and then I was going to mention those comments. But I'm glad you saw them.
Okay, I did.
That's all that matters, is that you do see the people heard your story and are like, no, don't let them sit in the box. Finish them up. It's good to hear that people are willing to quilt them. You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
But I'll still read this email because it was about that.
Yeah.
So, hello, Sherry, Chelsea, and Billy. Love your podcast. I recently discovered it and am thoroughly enjoying it. To Chelsea, I'd like to say, girl, get those quilt tops out of that box and get them quilted. Finished is better than perfect any day. You won't be sorry. I have always wanted to quilt and actually took a class almost 30 years ago. I finished a small sampler quilt top. I didn't get it quilted because I thought it was ugly. I was so discouraged, it ended up in a box, and I didn't pursue quilting at that time because I didn't think I was any good. I kind of forgot about the sampler until last year when I found it in a box of sewing stuff. Guess what? It wasn't nearly as ugly as I remembered. It has mistakes, but they really weren't as bad as I had initially remembered. I trimmed it up, and my friend quilted it for me. It looks just fine. I just started quilting again a couple years ago, and I like to tell my friends that all artists sign their work. I just signed mine with mistakes. I've definitely improved and hopefully will continue to do so, but I'm a long way from perfect and that's okay. So she said, and she also talked about when our youngest daughter was taking piano lessons, she was preparing for her first recital and she was so nervous. She was talking to her piano teacher about it and the teacher said, do you know what happens when you make a mistake at a recital? Her eyes got so big and said, no, what? Her teacher smiled and said, nothing. Absolutely nothing. I like to remember that when I'm quilting. So keep up the good work. I'm already looking forward to your next podcast. And this is from Amy from Oklahoma. So thank you for sharing that email and awesome stories, some great advice.
Yeah.
What's your reaction to that?
Well, and it's only been a couple of days. I just want to pop in real quick because this podcast only aired Monday. And we're taping Wednesday, actually. But I got all those emails just in the past really 24 hours.
Yeah.
So
I'm really glad you read this email because I was not even expecting to get the phone call and the text from Vicky and Marion about the quilts. And I really think I have a quilt I'm sending with you this Friday, I think. I really think I should send one of the box quilts.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
To Marion. And then maybe I should drop one off to Vicky. I'm going to call him today. You guys, it really is hard for me to do. And I did after I read some of those. There's probably more. I went and I looked at the box and I'm thinking, oh, Like, it's scary to take that first jump, but it's really, really helpful when you have a whole bunch of people cheering you on. There are those insecurities and you think, oh, this will get judged so badly. But I really think we should. I think I'm going to challenge myself to get them quilted, and we will have a video of all of the quilts that come from the box. Yeah. What do you think?
Well, yeah. I was going to pitch it to you. We Chelsea got here and we pretty much jumped right into recording. But I was, because of this feedback, I was going to pitch it to you if you wanted to do a video maybe next week where we just go through the box and you show the quilt tops.
Oh, just show the quilt prior tops. To. Yeah.
And then we can show them later too.
And maybe show them quilted later.
Anyway.
That, okay.
Something along those lines might be coming in the future.
So basically this is equivalent to me bearing my soul to all of you. Okay. That's what this is going to feel like. I will accept that challenge. I hope everyone will be so kind.
Well, yeah, I mean, you saw what people said. They say, don't worry about it. Do it. So, I mean, it's up to you. We'll figure
this,
it out.
Yeah, to make this really authentic, I really think I'm just going to not even look through the box first. I think I'm just going to bring the box.
A good idea.
Yeah,
and really have like a real initial reaction.
Yeah. Rather than looking at it prior to.
They will be crinkly and folded up, you guys. I'm just warning you beforehand.
I love that.
Okay, I like it. Let's do it.
Okay.
Hold me accountable.
All right. So with that, are you guys ready to jump into this batch of listener questions?
Absolutely.
Okay. So the first question, it's not really a question, but it's something my mom had mentioned to me. It is, I guess you put something on your Instagram story and you had a lot of questions that were dealing with accuracy in quilting.
I wanted to mention that first because I did put that story call out, I think it was just about a week ago, and I got some, you know, the question I asked everyone on Instagram was, if you had a magic wand and you could solve your biggest quilting problem, what would that be? And so I actually did that call out because I'm in the middle of creating a course right now for quilters. And so I wanted to get some great feedback from my people who are following along on Instagram, and the feedback was amazing. But, and as I mentioned earlier, basting was actually one of the things that kept coming up over and over again. And time management was another one, but accuracy just kept coming up in the comments that I got. And I just thought that we could link to a couple videos that we've already done that might be really helpful for people. There's one on cutting accuracy, and Billy will have those video links.
Yeah, I'll have.
But we also have one on tips for strip piecing that has a lot about being accurate when you use strip piecing, whether it's honey buns or jelly rolls. And, you know, the quarter inch seam, I guess we can't say that enough. You really, really have to get confident and know exactly how to sew that quarter inch seam. So, but yeah.
So those are all videos that will help with accuracy.
Yes.
Okay. So the next question here, she writes, I have a series of questions that I hope you'll be able to answer on your question and answer segment. And I thought these were really good actually for looking at it from a business perspective, but also for what customers can look forward to as they, you know, people that like your fabric and like your patterns. So she said, do you get feedback on sales when you sell through various companies or shops? I know that you might get a feeling for how popular a pattern is from your Etsy shop, but what if your pattern is sold through an online or physical store? For example, I noticed that your paper and PDF patterns are on sale at Fat Quarter Shop. Do you get feedback for which patterns are popular so that you have an idea of what type of patterns people may want in the future? And then she also goes on, what about your fabrics? Do you get feedback through Moda on fabric lines or on various prints that seem to sell out faster than others? And so this is the connected question. As designers, does feedback influence the decisions of upcoming collections, patterns, etc.? If so, how?
Yeah, I thought it was a great series of questions. Just the first two parts of it can be answered really quickly. Yes, we We do get a monthly report from Fat Quarter Shop on our PDF pattern sales through them, so we can skim through there and see what sold the most. And of course, we can do that with our own Etsy shops as well. And then from Moda, we also get, after the sales period has closed for a collection, we do get a yardage breakdown by SKU. So then we can look and say, oh, these flowers did really well, or this stripe did great. And so that
is... This color did well.
We can break it down that way. It's super helpful. And then, I don't know, you want to tackle the bigger question there that she asked at the end. How does that influence us?
Okay. So it really does influence. I'm going to start where you just ended with, say, getting feedback on a fabric line, because we really do go through and say, okay, these colors, actually, the past two collections are ones I have gone through, and specifically the one that we just finalized and just got scans for. I went through previous collections and looked at which prints, colors sold well, and it's a fun bundle. I'm very excited about it. I just started designing quilts for it. So I did. I took that feedback and I went and we put it into the next fabric line, and we'll see how that goes. But yeah, I think it does influence. I will say this about when I'm most collections and patterns, I don't know about you. I don't try to look. It's almost like, okay, I'm going to give an example. This might be a tangent. Billy might need to cut this. I just listened to a live stream of one of my favorite authors who has a new book coming out. And the people interviewing her were like, well, what about this fan theory? What about this theory? And she says, oh, I don't look at that. I just do my own work. And I feel like I tend to be off social media and all that. I don't want a ton of that influence. I just want to do it. I just want to draw. I just want to go sketch in my backyard and then work with the colors that we've built off of the amazing palette from all of the collections we've had. I don't know. Do you feel that way? Is that too off topic?
No, I feel so. Patterns and fabric are two different things.
Yeah.
I feel like with patterns, I design what I want to make.
Thank you.
And I don't really look at the sale. I don't ever, when I'm getting ready to design patterns, I don't ever go back and say, oh, which PDF sold the most in the past year? I've never done that. Make the patterns that I want to make. So,
yeah.
But I feel like with fabric, we do look at the colors that sold well or didn't sell well, so that we know if we want to bring those back. And then we also look at the prints, I feel like, to see.
Yeah.
But then after that, I think that's kind of where it stops. And then we do what we want to do with that kind of in the back of our minds.
But like, I don't go on like Pinterest or Instagram and type in popular colors today, popular color palette. I don't do that.
Yeah.
I really want to design what I want to design.
Right.
I think that's part of our creative process. I've never done that before.
Yeah.
I don't know if people, that's just what I'm talking about with the influence. I want it to really be something like, this is what I want to do. And it's helpful. Speaking of the Bella solid charm packs, I'll get my Bella board out and I'm like, I like this Bella and I like this Bella.
Right.
And I'll put a little, I take a picture and I send it to mom of all the little Bella strips that I have. And I'm like, this is the next fabric line. And then I get my sketchbook out and I start drawing little ditties and all the little florals. And then I put it in and I don't know. I feel like that's...
Yeah, I think it was a great question because yes, we look at it, but then does it directly influence? I don't feel like it. It certainly doesn't influence when you start to draw, because that's just coming from inside of you. The flower that comes out isn't...
I love that.
You know?
The flower that blooms.
Yes.
No, but that's exactly how it is, though. With the drawing, I just sit down and it's almost like a brain dump. It's just... Yeah. I'm just drawing.
Yeah.
And I've always just felt... And what's funny is you can still tell the designs are Sherry and Chelsea, but I don't think I've ever had something that's like so similar to another print. I feel like all the... Yeah,
unless we've specifically brought that back and sized it down or something, but...
Yeah, which we've done that with this most recent collection.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I love this question. As soon as I saw it, we could talk about this for hours.
Yeah,
I do want to say something though. What I'm very appreciative of is our first few markets, the sales reps would walk over to our booth and say, "Hey, I have some feedback on this," or "This is what we've heard from shop owners." And I was so appreciative that they kind of like had our backs, like, "Hey," and they were really helping us because we were new designers. And I just feel like it was part of our journey. And also Moda, we had a wonderful conversation with the design director and this most recent with Strawberry Lemonade. And it was just a really, such a beautiful conversation about the fabric and the design. And I also miss Jamie. So I just want to give her a big hug.
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, I love that you said that too. I'd almost forgotten about that. When we first went to our first market, we didn't really understand the whole interaction between shop owners and sales reps and the company and us. And we had to give a presentation, remember, with the other new designers to a room full of sales reps. Remember that? And
I have so much PTSD from that.
It was scary. But, and then again, at being at that first market and having them walk over was, like you said, incredibly helpful. We just appreciated that so much and really looking forward to being there. I hope all the sales reps are there. And as you mentioned, we have been able to converse with our design director, mostly via email throughout the market, since 2019, since the last time we were at Quilt Market. But it's going to be wonderful to have a sit down in person, talk and share. Just can't wait for that.
Yeah, it's really humbling because I'm really glad you brought that first meeting up. We were almost late to it. We couldn't find...
We were running through the convention center.
We were running through the convention center. I was still super, super young and I had never done that before. I had never... This was all so new to me. And also, I wasn't even quilting yet.
Right.
So that was really scary for me. And I felt like a fraud almost because I had to explain all this stuff and design was really the only thing I was doing. And I'm grateful that Moda was so patient and believed in the long-term outcome. And Mom had already been quilting. That was already her jam. She was into that and was already in the industry with that stuff. But yeah, I remember you have a little presentation at your booth. So the sales reps know. So they are aware of each and every designer's fabric line coming out. And we were I think both of us were like,
I remember we were there with Corey and Betsy.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Yeah.
And I just remember Deb Strain saying, "Everything's fine. You're doing great. Everything's going to be great." And now I could do it without even thinking. If somebody wanted me to give a presentation, I could just be like, "Okay, let's do this." And I'm grateful for that because I didn't start that way. I wasn't always comfortable even going with Mom to teach classes. It was a super valuable experience. And I might be teaching at something next year. We'll talk about that more soon.
Yeah. Well, you are. We'll be sharing that in November.
I didn't want to give it away. Yeah. So I will be going somewhere and teaching and it'll be the first time without my mom in the room with me. But I've been to enough that I'm comfortable. I've had enough feedback from Mom but going and doing the presentations at our trunk shows, Mom was like, "Hey, you want to speak this amount of minutes?" And at first I was like, "You're crazy. I'm not going to." And now I love it.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's really humbling to see where we were and where we are. And this will be the first time going to Quilt Market. Well, we're here today when this airs.
Yeah.
And I already feel like I've grown so much since the last time we were at market. I don't even feel like the same person.
Yeah.
It's going to be really fun. So this question I could talk about forever, but great question, Donna. I'm so appreciative of it to talk about that.
Yeah, thanks for saying her name too, is from Donna.
Yeah.
I didn't mention that earlier. I'll just add real quick 2 cents to it. I know you guys went super in depth with it, and you said so little more with the fabric design compared to patterns. And that just makes sense because if you think about it, you can independently sell your patterns, right? You have your Etsy shop. People like it, they like it. If they don't, oh, well, you know, it's there if they want to buy it. But with fabric, obviously, you know, we don't have a mill in the backyard here where you guys are producing the fabric. You obviously go through a company, and if people don't buy the fabric, then that is a problem, right? So there has to be customers that like it and want to buy it. And if you make things that no one wants, then you're not going to be fabric designers much longer, right? So there is a little more feedback and influence. It just makes sense to me that would have to, you would have to take some of that into consideration.
Right.
Right. Okay. So the next question is, okay, here it is. I hope you can answer my question. I know your opinion will be very thoughtful and honest from watching you, Chelsea, and Billy on your podcast. I just love the podcast. I currently run a small long arm business out of my home, but after having my third back surgery in March, I know I should slow down on the long arming some and try to, you know, save my back. My question to you is, do you think it would be beneficial for me to attend Quilt Market? I'm trying to figure out if I want to write patterns, teach quilting, teach edit or ghost, or tech edit or ghostwrite. I don't really know what the opportunities are for each of these careers. Any insight you could give would be greatly appreciated. Thank you again for all your wonderful podcasts. And that is from Kelly.
Yeah. And I thought this was another good question too. So Kelly already has a business. So I believe you would be able to get into Quilt Market with documentation. I'm not exactly sure what that is now. The first time I did it, I had to show, you know, purchase orders or whatever for my patterns so that I could go. But since you have a long arming business, I believe you probably would be able to have the documentation you would need to get in, because Quilt Market is not for the general public. It is an industry trade show. So that being said, I don't know if it would be more beneficial to wait and go after you have created some patterns, after you've kind of decided the direction you want to go. What do you think? I mean, everything is there. You'll be able to see people selling their patterns, people selling their fabric, people selling sewing machines, people selling notions. I'm not sure what the opportunities would be there to learn about ghostwriting. I'm not sure.
Yeah, not at Quilt Market.
Not at Quilt Market for that.
But for talking to people in the industry, mm-hmm. and for ways to enhance your long arming business and for quilt pattern. I mean, there's distributors there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I would say if you're thinking of quilt pattern writing, the quilt distributors want to see also, you know, that you have patterns
right
already available, I would think. Do you think that that's correct?
Yeah, I definitely, they would want to look at
patterns you've already created.
Yeah. So,
but what I do want to say is I am the biggest fan of this question, because like I've said before in recent videos, I am all about you going and don't give up on this journey if that's what you want to do. If you really have a passion for it, all of these things are great things that you want to do. Mm-hmm. And so start where you are. And like you said, you already have an established business, and don't quit. If tech editing or ghostwriting is what you want to do, it's something that you are good at. And maybe if you want to start designing and writing some of your own patterns to start out with, I think that's great. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And there's room for it, you know?
Yeah. And in fact, I remember Chelsea's first quilt market, you know, which was actually the market where we submitted our designs to Moda. But I remember showing you all of the other things too, the long arms, and you were kind of doodling with a long arm, and we looked at all the things.
Her hope was for me to long arm, actually.
I thought you might enjoy doing that,
yeah,
actually.
And it was an interesting experience. It's not what you think with the long arming.
Yeah. But yeah, if you can afford it to go, I mean, it's pricey to go now. The hotels have
so
skyrocketed.
Expensive.
But yes, if you can afford it and you want to go to be inspired and maybe help you choose the direction that you want to go, I think that would be good. Just know that you'll have to go back once you've decided on that direction. Yeah.
I always think market is a good experience as a business owner. Mm-hmm. I do. I think it is obviously expensive, and you will always come out inspired by Quilt Market. You will. That's a given.
And if you do go, be sure to go the day before market starts for the schoolhouse sessions. There's a wide variety of schoolhouse sessions and sessions that are geared to small business owners in the industry that you would want to go sit in on as many of those classes as you could.
I'm so glad that you brought this up. That's a huge positive to Quilt Market is going to the classes.
Right.
It really is geared towards shop owners and helping you build your businesses.
Right.
Okay. Well, yeah. So she could get in because she does have a small business.
Yes, I believe she could.
But then, you know, networking or just picking the brains of other people in different parts of the industry, that can happen. Okay.
Yeah.
Good deal. Okay. So the next one, it comes from a couple different videos here. So this one was from the Summer Memories Quilts Trunk Show. And the question is, I never thought of unifying a quilt before. I guess you talked about unifying quilts on that video. I would love for you to talk more about that subject. So I guess, what do you mean, or can you expand on unifying quilts?
Yeah, I feel like sometimes you can unify a quilt with the sashing that you choose or with the border that you choose. It could be a wide variety of things. I think from that Summer Memories video, I remember I had Susan's quilts there in my sewing room, and I remember just loving how she did kind of tie the quilts together, most specifically with her border and binding choices with those quilts. And that's what I was talking about. But yeah, you can unify a quilt with color. You can unify. There's so many different ways. I sort of feel like, you know, sashing and borders and bindings are kind of the way that you take all these quilt blocks, and that's what unifies them.
It's like wrapping the gift with the bow.
Yes.
Right? Is this a good analogy?
I think so.
It really like adds that little, you know, you put the ribbon around it and then you put the little bow, and it's like ties it all together.
Yeah.
Am I coming up with something good?
No, I think this is
good. Is it gold,
good.
Guys? Yeah. Yeah. I think I would have said the same thing though. Yeah. I think that's perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. And then another question is, this one was from the Free Simple Zipper Bag pattern and tutorial. You showed the By Annie zipper. So she said, please do a video on how to add the pull to your By Annie zippers. I love the zippers, but never put the pull on. I tried to reattach one that I accidentally zipped in the wrong direction and zipped it right off the zipper fabric. I've tried and tried to put it back on, but cannot seem to do so. I love the zippers and kept my, quote, user error broken one, end quote, in order to someday fix. So
yes,
we actually have a little announcement, I guess, with that too.
So you will be able to go and watch the video that aired on Thursday, October 12th. Is that the correct date?
Yes. Yeah.
Thursday, October 12th. I'm actually sharing some fun new crossbody bags that I made with my friend Caitlin's new pattern.
Caitlin!
And I actually incorporated into that video a tutorial for exactly what you're talking about with the zippers. So go and watch that video and you'll have the little tutorial for how to fix that.
How serendipitous it is.
Yes.
You guys.
The timing was good.
Okay, yeah. I had to say that word. I must.
Next question here. I've been starching fabric for projects with StayFlow. I pronounce that right?
I think so.
StayFlow. For about a year now. It's great, and I love the crispness and sharp corners as a result of sharpening. Starching.
Starching.
But
say
yes,
that five times fast,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. But yes, it is so much extra work to starch, hang, dry, iron before you even begin sewing. Last week, I used the Dreamin' pattern with Favorite Things fabrics. The jelly roll blocks were no problem at all since they were pinked, but when I was adding the sashing with 9900-200 yardage and the setting triangles, the strings from the edges of the fabric drove me crazy. By the time I got to the 4.5-inch border, I had it fighting the strings, unraveling, so I gave it a generous spray with Mary Ellen's Best Press before sewing, and this helped so much. I know you don't starch, but I've heard you say you use Best Press. Do you apply Best Press and iron before you cut pieces, or just use on blocks and sashing as you go? Those final 4.5-inch borders were much better after spraying with Best Press before I attached them to the quilt. Today I'm making a small table topper with Bountiful Blooms, and I sprayed the Best Press before doing any cutting or sewing, and it's turning out great. I've already starched and ironed my Simply Delightful for Rainbow Prisms, but just looking as to how I'm going to proceed after that one. If I will continue to stay flow starch or attempt to use Best Press for the next project. Just thought I'd ask, when do you apply Best Press on your projects, before you begin or as you sew blocks and sashing? Thank you so much. And that is from Sandy.
Yeah, that's a great question. So the Best Press is a starch. I don't believe it's as concentrated as the Stay Flow, but it's still better to apply the Best Press before you've cut out your pieces. So spray with Best Press, iron it, and then cut it out for the highest amount of accuracy. I don't think it would really matter on a border print because the shrinkage would be minimal there. But if you're making an 8-inch finished quilt block and there are a lot of pieces, you definitely want to spray that Best Press, then iron, then cut out your pieces, because there could be a very minimal amount of shrinkage that would come about from doing that process. And if you've done it after the pieces are already cut out, it could affect the accuracy of the block. So yes, treat Best Press like a starch product, and because it does have starch in it, and spray it, iron it, and then do your cutting. I think anything else? I generally use Best Press when I'm doing blocks 8 inches or smaller. I don't really use it with bigger blocks or borders. I haven't had an issue, but I do like to use it when I'm working with smaller pieces.
Yeah, same. It's not like my go-to.
Right.
I do love the part of the comment where she said she loves the crispness.
Yes.
And now I need like a chip or a panini or something, because I like that word.
Something crisp.
Yeah, something crisp, you guys. It was a crisp morning.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, and we get, I know we get that. That's a repeated question a lot, is do you starch or not starch? But that, so I thought that was good, because that lets you go in a little more in-depth.
Yeah.
A little more specific starch question there.
Right.
Okay, the next one, this was to Mom. It says, Sherry, thank you for your newsletter that keeps giving me more tips as a newer quilter. I'm new to your site, fabric, and patterns, and so appreciate your information and photos in your emails. Your fabric is extremely lovely, and you and your daughter are very talented. So
thank you.
Nice little thing there.
Thank you.
She said, I recently purchased the Vintage 2 quilt pattern from Fat Quarter Shop and look forward to the beautiful strawberry lemonade fabric in January. I wanted to know how I would determine how much fabric to purchase if I wanted to buy yardage instead of the fat eights. Say I wanted to stay with just 5 or 6 main fabric patterns and 1 low light print for background. How do I gauge how much of each to purchase? I guess I'm a little more of a, quote, controlled scrappiness lady. I'd appreciate any advice you could share with me in this regard. If the pattern does not lend itself in this way, then no problem. Thank you so much, and thank you for sharing your talents with the quilting world. And that was from Roxanne.
Yeah, I thought that was another great question, because it applies to anything. You know, for example, this pumpkin quilt on the table we looked at before, Chelsea has written the pattern for 13 fat quarters.
Yeah.
But if you do the math, that is 3¼ yards. So if you only wanted, you know, if you wanted fewer prints, as long as you make sure that you're adding up to that 3¼ yards,
yeah,
you could get yardage for the whole thing instead of fat quarters. You know, you could change that into half yards
and do it that way.
And do it that way. Do, you know, 7 half yard cuts would give you fabric, and it would be a more controlled color palette.
Yeah.
But you can do that with anything that's fat eighth or fat quarter. You can just divide and up that to half yards or.
Yeah.
And that's what I would suggest. And then just do it by yardage
instead of. Yeah.
Yeah. A jelly roll is a little bit trickier, I would say, in charm packs.
Oh, so much trickier.
You know, but you actually can, I believe, maybe we can get a link to this. There is a printout, I think it's free, from the Moda Inspiration page, and it tells you exactly how many yards are in a jelly roll and a charm pack.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so you could look at that, and
I didn't know
that would tell you a rough estimate of how many yards you need. So I'll find that, and we'll have that in the description. So
I know how many stinking, I just cut so many jelly roll strips for my Regal Pines kits. It was crazy. So I was like, this is how many jelly strips in a yard.
But yes, that's a great question. And you really can just, especially if the pattern is written for fat eighths and fat quarters, it's super easy to convert it into yardage.
And I think, Roxanne, your question was great too. I'm pretty controlled scrappy too. So I kind of feel the same way. Like if I'm going to go in and get yardage, I mean, yeah, you want it to be how you want it. So.
Right.
Okay. Last one for this episode. When measuring for a quarter inch seam, do you measure the edge of the fabric to the tight of the thread on top of the thread or just over the thread? Seems like it shouldn't be so complicated, but I have trouble with my blocks being too small on one side or another. That's from Cheryl.
Okay. I think that's a good question too. And it sort of goes back to that first topic of accuracy.
Yeah. And I just thought about that. I should have put those maybe together.
Oh, no, but that's way okay. to come back around.
Circle it
back, people.
Yes. But yeah, you know, thread does take up space. And so really, you need to make sure that you're using a thin thread. And I have seen people use thicker threads that really do make their seam allowance off. So look at your thread. We both use 50 weight Aurifil, and I feel like that is a nice thin thread that doesn't take up much of the seam allowance. Our friend Marion actually has used an even thinner thread that she, remember, gifted us a couple spools.
It's on my machine right now.
And is it?
Yeah, okay. I love it.
Yeah. So you can go even thinner. Maybe you can send me.
I will send
that information. We can put that in the description. Yeah,
I had used one before and she sent me, she sent me two.
Yeah.
And I'm using the other one now.
But for me, the quarter inch should go from the edge of the fabric up to the thread.
Yeah.
Because that thread, usually the fabric is sitting on top of the thread. And so you want to make sure that you have that quarter inch. If your blocks are small, that means your seam is a little big.
Yeah.
So.
You guys, quarter inch seam is like Princess and the Pea, okay? If you do not get it, like there's all these factors, right? And it's just the pea and the mattresses and it makes such a big difference.
I think rail fence blocks are the best way to practice that.
Yeah.
And, you know, just sew three strips together and just keep sewing. You can make placemats out of them. We actually have a little placemat pattern that we've have with those rail fence blocks. And
Mom, I want
just
placemats
great.
For Chris.
I know. So
don't tell Billy. He'll say, make your own.
Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, don't be embarrassed to put a row of tape on your machine if you need to. If your quarter inch foot or your machine just isn't getting it, measure it with a ruler and put a row of painter's tape or washi tape.
I had painter's tape on my machine forever.
Yeah.
Like for a really, really long time. And it was not cute, but it worked, okay?
Yes. Yeah.
Who wants blue painter's tape on their sewing machine?
Yeah, I actually keep painter's tape in my sewing kit when I teach because it seems like I usually have to give some to somebody.
Yeah.
You know, they will hold up their block and say, why isn't my block like her block? And usually I just turn it over and it's usually the seam is too big. Most people aren't sewing their seams too small, although I've seen that too.
You can almost tell without measuring, right?
Yeah.
Like you look
at it. You can just look at it.
Yeah. And you just know now because we're like so attuned. But I will. I'll like get it out even though I know and I'm like, There you go.
It's the seam.
Yep. Like every
99% of the time.
Yeah. My kids will walk in and I'm like, I got the ruler and just like making sure it's accurate.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Well, good. Thank you for everyone that sent in questions. We have more stacked up behind. So,
which is great.
Yeah.
We're so grateful.
We might even sneak in another listener question episode. Sometimes we do that because we get so many. So, that's awesome. I am going to, as we usually do, read a couple podcast reviews to end this episode. I actually just have one from Apple, and then I'll read another email. That's sort of like a review for you guys' fabric. And then we'll end on that. So first, though, from Apple Podcasts, this one was titled A Fun Quilty Listen. I look forward to every podcast. I've learned so many quilty things, and I love the family dynamics of the podcast. And that was from her name on here is Mom of Three Grads. So congratulations. Three awesome. Graduates. Okay.
Thank you. Good quilty listen.
Yes, thank you.
And so this is the email. And from Sandy, it says, I'm loving sewing with the Bountiful Blooms fabric collection. I made a cute table topper using a mini charm pack and now am moving to begin a quilt using a layer cake. I just love the petal stripe prints. Not sure if this was the plan, but this print looks like a knitted sweater to me and just perfect for fall. Thanks for another fabulous fabric collection. I think I might be putting my long arm quilter's child through college with all the items I've been sending their way using Emma, Favorite Things, Simply Delightful, and Bountiful Blooms. And believe me, I'll be right there to get strawberry lemonade as soon as it comes out. Bravo, ladies. That's from Sandy.
Yeah, thank you.
And it does kind of look like a little cable.
Like
in
a cable.
Like, yeah.
I know. I'm looking at it right
here. Yeah. I was just going to be like, what?
Yes.
Oh, it's on there?
Yeah. It's right there.
Yeah. This print.
So, oh, okay.
So that it's true. I love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, our next episode will be on Monday, November
13th.
13th. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And we'll be just a few weeks away from Thanksgiving by then. So.
And it'll be so fun because we'll have all of the market stories. We can talk about that.
That will be the market recap episode sure.
Yes, it will be.
Yes.
Yeah. And my videos will have started for the All American Quilt Along. It's going to be a fun time in November.
Yeah.
It's really fun.
Yes.
Yeah. So today was a lot of fun. And thanks so much for stopping by.